chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Isaiah 1, 1 through 18. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord, they have spurned the Holy One of Israel, and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate, your cities burned with fire, your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a field of melons, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty has left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incest is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. There is no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. God the Father sent the Son to take on a body of flesh, Jesus Christ, to lay down his life for God's people. And all those who are united to Christ in baptism, holding fast to him by faith, keeping covenant with him, God promises that though your sins are like scarlet, you shall be made white as snow. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Amen. Let us respond to God's grace by singing joyfully unto him. It is fitting that today, being Cadet Sunday, the theme of the sermon, as you've noticed from the sermon title, is Do Your Duty. And God has set us apart to serve him in this world, and our duty is to obey him, to obey all that he has commanded. And God's will for life this morning is taken from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. Obeying God's commands is our duty. So James 1, 19 to 27. These are the words of God. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to Him now in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of His word. Will you pray with me? O eternal God and most merciful Father, who gives life to that which is dead, of Thine infinite goodness, give unto us quietness of heart, to the intent that we, not being overthrown with the heavy burdens of afflictions that lie upon us, may in our consciences rejoice always in Thy salvation. And grant, we beseech Thee, that we may continually addict ourselves to praise and magnify Thy most holy name through Jesus Christ, Thy dear Son, our Redeemer. And speak to us now, O Lord, by Your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear Your word by faith. Give us minds to understand Your truth. Give us hearts to love You, to love Your truth and our neighbors. And move our souls to rejoice greatly in the salvation to which You've called us as Your people. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God, our sermon text this morning continues in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. And while you're turning in your Bibles, I failed to mention this at the beginning of the service. On behalf of my family, I'd like to thank you for this last week we had off for a vacation. We were able to go to Helena, Montana, and visit with Pastor Jonah Barnes and his family. And Pastor Jonah, if you don't remember, it was is my friend, and he gave Shara the kidney. And he is has been recently installed as a pastor in a church in Montana, so we wanted to celebrate with him in that. So, again, we are grateful that the church and consistory, you've been gracious to give us this week off, and it was very much enjoyed. So, on behalf of my family, thank you very much. Our sermon text, Luke 17, verses 1 through 10. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Luke 17, Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world to save sinners. While he came to do much more than that, we can take great comfort in this focus of his earthly ministry. He came to call sinners to himself, sinners like you, sinners like me. And his message of salvation came in the call to repentance. From John the forerunner to Jesus himself preaching, the message was to turn from your sin and seek life in God's Messiah. Die to yourself and live, find life in God. Without that repentance, there is no forgiveness. Jesus says this clearly in this passage, verses 3 and 4. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. If he repents, forgive him. This is important because we are to reflect and image God. If we don't repent to God, he doesn't forgive us. If someone sins against us, we do not forgive him until they repent. Because repentance is essential to forgiveness. Repentance is a gift that God gives us. He gives us ears to hear the truth of his gospel. The Holy Spirit convicts us in our heart of our sin. God changes our hearts to respond in faith. And the Spirit moves us to turn from sin and live a life of righteousness. All are gifts from God. And a necessary part of repentance is humility. We must have humility to recognize our sinfulness. We must have humility to recognize our need for a Savior. We must have humility to recognize that He is God. We are not. And we have transgressed His holy law. We have sinned against the holy God. And humility recognizes that. This humility in the recognition of sin includes the sins we committed yesterday, which we confess to God and seek forgiveness in Jesus' name. This humility includes the sins we committed last year, that as we read our Bibles, we recognize, the Holy Spirit convicts us, we confess them and repent of them. And this humility recognizes all the sins of our past, that when we become aware of them by the power of the Holy Spirit, we confess them to God and ask for forgiveness. Humility means we must never take the position that something we did in the past couldn't possibly have been sinful. That's not humility. As we grow to be more Christ-like, of course we will recognize more and more of our past choices being contrary to God's word. And we confess them to God. This is sanctification. It's becoming more like Jesus. And it requires God-given humility. So as we hear from God's word this morning, we must hear the God-given blessing of humility and repentance. Humility for our faith. Humility for our obedience. Humility in seeking forgiveness. And humility in granting forgiveness. And that's a gift from God. Let's pause there and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. Who can raise their hand and tell me, what am I talking about in the first half of the sermon? I'll take a couple different answers. Emma? Forgiveness? Jesus forgiving, very good. Did you hear an R word, a big R word? Hessel? Repentance, very good. How about the H word? Anybody hear an H word? Humility, humble, we get humble, same thing. Humility, forgiveness, repentance. Can I see your eyes on me, please? Now, I'm going to talk about in the second half of the sermon about doing your duty. Doing your duty. Do your duty, right. And God requires of us, He commands us to be joyful. Are you joyful? Raise your hand if you're joyful. Okay, hands down. Who can raise their hand and tell me what does it mean to be joyful? Titus? Do you forget? Cain. Cain. Yeah, Cain killed his brother. Yeah, not what I'm looking for. Lee? What does it mean to be joyful? Happy? Excited? Yep. Full of joy? That's a good breakdown of the word, yeah. And don't worry about that. Any other definitions, Dean? Happy to explode. Okay?
You're too happy. You're too happy to get Tutti Frutti.
You're too happy to get Tutti Frutti's?
I am.
Oh, okay. Does that make you happy? Okay, good. Okay. So what I'm hearing is happiness and excitement. Who can raise their hand and tell me, where do we find our joy? Did you forget? You have a rescue bot? Yeah, he's pretty cool, isn't he? Yeah. Aubrey, where do we find our joy? In God. Raise your hand if you agree with Aubrey. We find our joy in God. Very good. Okay, so hands down. So if we have our joy in God, can we still be joyful if we're sad? Thumbs up, yes. Thumbs down, no. To show me, don't call out. If our joy is in God, can we still be joyful when we're sad? Uh-huh. Show me with your thumbs. Thumbs up, yes. Thumbs down, no. If you have up, you're right. Because God doesn't change. So can we be joyful when we're happy?
Me.
Are you happy? Are you joyful when you're happy? Are we joyful when we're sad? Yeah, because it's in God. And even though our attitudes might change, even though our life might change, who doesn't change? God. God doesn't change. So no matter what happens in our lives, He doesn't change. Our joy is in Him, so we can be joyful all the time. Now let me ask you another question. Can someone steal your joy? Abby? No. Adults, no. No one can steal your joy. If you're not joyful, is that someone else's fault? No, that's our fault. Because our joy is in God. So if we're not being joyful, it's because we're not trusting in God. And we're letting something else change how we feel and how we live. So should we be joyful all the time? Yes. Yes. Is it hard? Yes, sometimes it's hard. So let's pray and ask God to help us with our joy. Repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for making us, and thank you for saving us in your Son Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be faithful and joyful unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You get back to your seats. As mentioned, sermon title is Do Your Duty. Now, it's common, unfortunately, in churches today to set up duty to God up against joyfully loving God. Duty to God or joyful love for God. As Christians, the choice is given. We must decide. Before that, decide between a joyful relationship with God or begrudgingly doing your duty. Make a choice. Would you rather be joyful or do your duty? This is a false choice. Hey, cadets, how does one love God? How do we love God? Caleb? Love him, show you're a Christian. Hessel, you want to add to that? Keeping his commandments. That's what I was looking for. We love God by obeying him. And what Caleb said is true. We show that we're a Christian. We love God in our service to him. But the Bible says, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Thank you. So does God command us to be joyful? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. It is a command. Are we doing our duty if we are joyful? Cadets, are you doing your duty if you're joyful? Yes. So, Christians, deny the false choice between a loving, joyful relationship with God and doing your duty. They go together. In this passage from Luke 17, Jesus addressed his disciples. He warned them, as leaders of the new creation church, of the stumbling blocks that they might put before others, God's people. He taught them about forgiveness. And he explained to them their required service as his disciples. And he taught them their primary service was to him. Verses 7 and 8. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing. We sang about, or in the litany, we talked about harvesting the ground, right? Plowing, tending sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Verses 9 and 10. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, disciples, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. Before anything else, serve Jesus. Serve Jesus before taking care of yourselves. Set your heart, set your mind, set your body and soul in full service to the King. Then take care of yourselves. And this was an essential message for the disciples in the early church because Jesus, as we know, would suffer and die, rise from the dead, and ascend into heaven. He would no longer be there bodily to help them as he had done these past 3 years. The disciples could not lose focus on their primary service to Christ, and it would ultimately cost them their lives. Now, this is not to say that this isn't a message for us, the church, in the year 2016. It absolutely is a message for us. Yes, when you read this, read the immediate context of Jewish disciples being taught by Jesus about to face immediate persecution. But understand this teaching for us today. And here is our message from verse 10. We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. We are servants to the King of Kings. We've been called. We've been saved. We've been set apart to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. We are united to Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all that we do is to be for the glory of God. That's our duty. And Jesus warns, lest we get haughty, lest we think that we are better than those who are still in the world, that we did something within ourselves to deserve this, we remember that we are saved by God's bountiful grace. Saved by grace. Glorious grace. And as the redeemed, we are now in full service to Jesus. Wholeheartedly, with our minds being renewed, our bodies and souls given unto Him, we are in service to Jesus and His kingdom. All for Jesus. Everything is for Jesus. Serve Him first and foremost in your lives. Serve Him before family. Serve Him before employment. Serve Him over personal relationships, over national identity and citizenship. You were bought with a price, and we owe all to Jesus. Unless, as you hear this, as that begrudging do-your-duty message, remember the false choice. Don't boil it down to strict, stern-faced obedience and joyful love for the Lord. It's both. It's not the stern-faced stuff, although seriousness has a place in the Christian faith. Joyfully serve the Lord. Rejoice in the privilege that we have to serve Jesus. God created us. He saved us by a sovereign choice. He wasn't compelled to save us. God wasn't lonely and thought, you know, I really can't get on without the saints at Hamlin Reformed Church. I better save them. He did it by His mercy. He did it by His love. And everything God does is good. Everything God does is for His glory. You, brothers and sisters, you were made for His glory. You were saved for His glory. And He calls you to serve His kingdom. He calls you to do your duty for, cadets, for His glory. Now I say this with all love and affection, as some of you are getting heavy eyelids. If this doesn't get you excited, if joyfully doing your duty for the Lord doesn't get you fired up to serve Jesus, we need a heart change. Because whom else would you rather serve? What false gods gets your blood flowing? What false religion or false service brings out your zeal, if not the Christian faith? If we can't joyfully do our duty for the one who suffered and died for us, we're lost. I've said this already this morning, I'll say it again. It's fitting that this message falls on Cadet Sunday, with the boys wearing their uniforms. Boys, you are in service to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Saints of Hamlin, not just the cadets, you are in service to Jesus Christ. You've been saved for this. So we have a choice. Do we respond begrudgingly as though this were some weighty obligation? Oh, I have to be a Christian today. Oh, I have to resist sin and live a holy life. Oh, it'd be so much more fun just to indulge in the world and sinfulness. Or respond with faith. Respond with humility. Respond with joy. And respond dutifully by leaving this church and going out into the world to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and rejoice in Him. No matter what happens in our lives, whatever circumstances change, God has not changed. We place our trust in Him. We place our joy in Him. And to give that up is not doing our duty. It's failing. To say, as I mentioned to the kids, that someone stole my joy, or I don't have joy in this anymore. There's no joy in the church anymore. It's gone. That's not God's fault. And it's not someone else's fault. It's my fault if I give up my joy. It's my fault if I fail to obey God and rejoice in Him always. So, brothers and sisters, you get to serve Jesus Christ. You get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you get to give your whole self as a living sacrifice unto Him. And you don't have to do it by yourself. He gives you His Spirit to lead you and guide you in that. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. We beseech Thee, Almighty God, look upon the hearty desires of Thy humble servants and stretch for the right hand of Thy majesty to be our defense against all our enemies through Jesus Christ our Lord. And kindle in us, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, faith that trusts in You. Move us, Lord, with zeal and joy to serve You with all of our being. And strengthen our faith, Lord, to do our duty in the service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.